Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
It's interesting to track things over the span of something like a century, and a new report from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life does just that. Global Christianity, its population, and its distribution. We're going to talk about this report. Conrad Hackett will join us from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. And then a few minutes later, Dr. Albert Culver, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will help us understand some of what we've learned. Conrad Hackett is a demographer for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life and lead researcher for the Pew Forum's Global Christianity Report. Conrad, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
So in the last 100 years, what would you characterize as the biggest change with regard to the Christian population on the planet and its distribution?
In our report, we talk about two interesting things that have happened over the last 100 years. First, the number of Christians has more than tripled from about 600 million to about 2.18 billion Christians in 2010. But while the absolute number of Christians has changed dramatically, in both 1910 and 2010, Christians have been about one out of every three people in the world. So there's been this constant share of the world's population. The second thing that's really interesting is there's been a major shift in terms of where Christians live. 100 years ago, two out of every three Christians lived in Europe, and today only about a quarter of all Christians do. Sub-Saharan Africa has seen a 60-fold increase in the number of Christians in that part of the world, and there's been a 10-fold increase in the number of Christians in Asia-Pacific. So now there's no one region of the world that can indisputably claim to be the center of the Christian world as Europe was 100 years ago.
As a total proportion, or a proportion of the total population between 1910 and 2010, is there any significant shift?
No, not in terms of the proportion of the world's population. As I said, about one out of every three people in the world was and is a Christian. But within different regions of the world, there have been dramatic shifts. In sub-Saharan Africa 100 years ago, about one out of every 10 people was Christian at that time. Today, about 6 out of 10 people are Christian in sub-Saharan Africa. In the Middle East-North Africa region, there's a remarkably small number of people who are Christians, considering that Christianity began in that part of the world. Today, only about 4% of the region is Christian.
Is it safe to say, as we often hear, that global Christianity has moved south or to the southern hemisphere?
There has indeed been a large shift to the southern hemisphere and also to the countries of Asia-Pacific in the east. But Latin America, though, is a region which was predominantly Christian 100 years ago and continues to be predominantly Christian. So Latin America hasn't changed nearly as much as Africa has in particular.
In terms of regional distribution, how would you describe it? What are the regions and where would you say, in terms of region, can any given region claim either quicker growth or a growing population of Christians?
In the future, we're going to be putting out reports where we'll actually project the growth of Christianity and other major religions in the decades ahead. And so we're not, at this point in time, sure exactly what the current patterns of growth are, but we look forward to informing the public about that soon. But we can say that right now, the region with the greatest share of Christians is the Americas region, including North America and Latin America, with over a third of the world's Christian population today. But the population in general is changing very fast in sub-Saharan Africa. That part of the world has a high fertility rate, and so it we may find that that is one region where the Christian population is likely to increase in the decades ahead.
What about the regions where Christianity has its historical roots, namely the Middle East and Northern Africa?
In the Middle East and Northern Africa, there are about 13 million Christians today, we estimate. And there's actually more Christians in the country of Indonesia, a Muslim-majority country, than in all 20 countries of the Middle East and North Africa combined. The Middle East, North Africa is the least Christian region of any of the regions of the world.
Has that changed significantly in the last 100 years?
That's probably more of a long-term shift. Even 100 years ago, it was also the case that the Middle East, North Africa region did not have a large share of the population at that time. And on our website at pewforum.org, we have a neat map that shows exactly these dynamics 100 years ago and today, if any of your listeners have a chance to go and look at the map to see this visually.
In those key regions that you've mentioned several times, sub-Saharan Africa and the Asia-Pacific, have the general populations grown proportional to the number of Christians in those regions?
I think the general population in those regions has grown fast and even faster than the rest of the world, but the Christian population has grown faster because the concentration of Christians in those regions has increased over time. So the populations are simultaneously growing overall at a fast rate and becoming increasingly Christian over time.
How good is the data on, for lack of a better term, denominational association for global Christians?
We draw on different types of data for our report, and the primary thing that we are describing based on survey and census data is the division of the world into the traditions of Catholicism, Protestantism, the Orthodox churches, and then some smaller churches, including Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, grouped together in a category we call other Christians. And we have pretty good data at that level. When we go down to more detailed level for Protestant denominational families, we can't always get good data from censuses and surveys. And so at that level, it's important to use data from church groups. And so we got information from the Center for the Study of Global Christianity at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. And in the back of our report, we do have data based on analysis of their information about the distribution of Protestant denominational families.
In that vein, you also have a chart, Christians by movement, listing Pentecostal,
yes,
Charismatic, then them together, and evangelicals. What information is reflected in that?
That information is also from the Center for the Study of Global Christianity. And one of the stories there is that the Pentecostal movement and the Charismatic movement together include about a quarter of all Christians in the world. About nearly 600 million Christians belong to a historically Pentecostal denomination or an independent church where charismatic practices are common, or a movement within the Roman Catholic Church or established Protestant churches where Pentecostal practices are common.
Finally, then, if you were going to write the headline on the latest report, what would be the big story here?
It's been interesting to see the headlines that have appeared. Many headlines have focused on the growth in Africa. Others have emphasized the shift away from a concentration of Christians in Europe. One story that I think is particularly interesting is that two out of three countries in the world now have a Christian majority in their population.
Conrad Hackett is a demographer for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life and lead researcher for the Pew Forum's Global Christianity Report. You can find out more about this report at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Conrad, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
Joining us for some analysis and some careful thought on this new report on the global Christian population, Dr. Al Culver. He's director of church relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and a regular guest. Al, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
How do you explain the apparent shift from European centers 100 years ago and now Christian populations growing in sub-Saharan Africa and in the Asian region?
Well, that's a great question, and I just returned from a trip from the Baltics and Central Europe and Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan region, and I don't think we can discount the effects of World War II and communism, the effects that that had on the Christian population.
And as far as the growth in sub-Saharan Africa and other regions, with about a minute before we take a break, you've been there too. You've seen that as well. How do you account for that?
Well, I think one way to account for what happens in Africa is when you're not sure if you're going to be alive next week, that changes your focus in a way to maybe help you look a little beyond yourself or to be more receptive to hearing the gospel.
Dr. Al Culver is our guest. When we come back, we'll spend another 10 minutes with him on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 21st, looking over a new report on the global Christian population. It's the report on the size and distribution of the world's Christian population. Now, it's Christian broadly defined. One of the things I want to talk with Dr. Culver about when we come back is that much of the growth, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, has come in the form of Pentecostal and charismatic Christianity, a revivalistic kind of Christianity. Now, you can understand the appeal, but is that a concern for more Orthodox, more historic Christians in that region where the Christian population is exploding? We've got a population of the world that's gone from, well, a quarter of its size 100 years ago, now to 7 billion. And the Christian proportion of that population has kept almost perfect pace, about a third, for the last 100 years. But the centers where the Christians live, where the Christian population is growing, has radically changed in that 100 years. We'll talk more about it with Dr. Al Culver after this.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of A Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
Just in time for the Christmas season, we have a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our new sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 17th and 24th. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season, issuesetc.org, and click support.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Issues Etc., a book of the month for December, is a great resource, and it's one of those, you know, a lot of books, you read them, You're done with them in about 4 or 5 days if you plow through them. You put it back on the shelf, and then you are done with that book. It, like so many of the books I'm looking at right now on my shelves, they stay on the shelf. Maybe you take it off. Not this one. This is one that is meant for every day of the church year. It's called A Year with the Church Fathers, and it's one of those kind of things that you can start over again when the church year starts over again. It's by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Scott Murray. It's a daily devotion and meditation on the writings of the early church fathers from Concordia Publishing House. Call them and order A Year with the Church Fathers, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. We're talking about a new report on global Christian population. Dr. Al Culver, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is our guest. I want to come back to the European context in just a minute, Al, but first I'm just going to – this is stunning. If you look at the Asia-Pacific region 100 years ago, it was 4.5% of the Christian global population. Now it's tripled. But the real stunner is sub-Saharan Africa, which 100 years ago was 1.4% of the total Christian population, and it is now 17 times that, almost 24%, almost a quarter of the Christian global population in sub-Saharan Africa. And a lot of it, I know, in your conversations with Lutheran Africans, has come in the form of charismatic and Pentecostal Christianity. What are your concerns there?
Well, you know, you're asking all the right questions, because when I've been in Kenya and other places in Africa, you ask them, what are one of the greatest challenges you face as a Lutheran church? And two things come up fairly common. One is a charismatic movement / Pentecostalism, and the other is Islam. And I've wondered and even asked them, why do you see that the charismatic movement has taken such a hold, or why has it risen to such a level? And they usually pause for a minute, and then they'll take a stab at giving an answer to it. And I don't know how to express it the best way, but when I've asked this question before, the answer typically follows, because charismatic religion or charismatic Christianity in some way is most similar or most patterned after what it replaced, the form of paganism, in that it appeals to the emotions, or it has similar characteristics, and so it makes it a little easier for people to move towards.
Let's return to the subject you mentioned a moment ago, and that is post-war and post-communism Europe. Did communism succeed, in a sense, in driving Christianity? I mean, it didn't drive it out entirely, but in extinguishing a lot of the population of European Christianity?
Well, it sure did, and in some countries it particularly did in the Lutheran Church. And in Lithuania, for instance, half of the Lutheran clergy were executed. And the Lutherans were persecuted at a higher rate than other church bodies, such as Roman Catholicism.
Why is that?
Well, in many cases, there was a perception that Lutheranism was a German religion, and because of World War II and Hitler, Lutherans / Germans were not seen as trustworthy. And so it wasn't always about religion. Sometimes it was about ethnicity isn't even right, because if you were, you didn't have to be a German, but you were holding to what was perceived to be a German idea.
So when you actually visit places like Lithuania, do churches still exist? What does it look like?
Well, yeah, after post-communism, the former governments returned many of the church properties to the church. So there are quite a few Lutheran churches in Lithuania. Roman Catholicism is the larger chunk of that, but there's the Lutheran Church in Lithuania feels that it has a great future there.
Is it your sense that we're simply watching, especially in Europe, a lull after the war in communism in the Christian population that will come back somewhere closer to its 100-year-ago number of 66% of worldwide Christians in Europe, or is this more or less permanent? What's your sense?
Well, you know, I vacillate on this. There's when you meet with some of these churches and their vibrant leaders now, you want to have hope for the future. And in fact, we only have hope in the future because of Christ and the gospel. On the other hand, a more pessimistic thought is maybe the Platzregen, the passing rain shower that Martin Luther so often speaks of, has passed Europe by. And when you see the changing demographic and the increase of Islam in these places and the laws changing to be less favorable towards Christianity, it makes you wonder if it can return.
Can you speak briefly about the Asia-Pacific in general? The remarkable thing there that China alone is 1/6 of the world's population, but the church there seems to be thriving. The numbers are enormous, but they're not enormous compared to the population of that very populous country.
Yeah, China is a very interesting place in terms of Christianity. On the one hand, you have the communist government, which attempts to control the church, even to the point of trying to control who the Roman Catholics appoint as bishop. Then they have the Three Self Church, which is, again, highly regulated. And yet at the same time, you have factory owners, and even I just met with Communist Party officials from China who were encouraging the LCMS to send people to their universities to teach. Who would have ever thought that the Communist government is inviting you to come in to teach, particularly because our people need to know how to be pastors, and comments like that. In China, part of the story is there's a perception that the West was successful because of the Protestant work ethic. And so some have, in a very pragmatic sense, thought if we instill the Protestant work ethic into our people, they'll be better factory workers and they will be more productive and will economically dominate the world. And what has happened is what man has intended for his own purpose, the Lord has actually worked and created a church for himself.
Finally, then, when you visit with Lutheran leaders around the world, what are they looking for?
Well, I think Lutheran leaders are looking primarily for us to be bold, to be Lutheran, to make the strong confession, to actually remain Lutheran. It's very easy to get swallowed up and lose your identity. In many of these places, they do not have a tradition of elder pastors. In the former communist regions, their pastors are wiped out. So one of the things I hear a great need for is pastoral theology, helping our pastors be better pastors. I believe it or not, I hear that they'd like things like conflict resolution. What do we do when our pastors and congregations aren't getting along with one another? How do we resolve these tensions? And in many of these places, because of the pastors are worker priests or they have 3, 4, and 5 parishes, there's a high clergy burnout. And how do we spiritually care for our pastors? That, in addition to theological education, are the biggest things that I hear from our partners that they need.
Dr. Al Culver is Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Al, thanks for your time this afternoon.
Oh, thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., one of our traditions, an entire hour dedicated to your answer to the simple question, what is your favorite Christmas hymn and why? This is your chance to answer the question we've asked our audiences many years running. What's your favorite Christmas hymn and why? You can go to our Facebook page tonight and vote there, or you can wait till tomorrow and give us a call. We'll try to have as many of those hymns that are your favorites to play, at least a little snippet of it, when we ask and answer that question. What is your favorite Christmas hymn and why? Tomorrow on Issues Etc. Folks, thanks to the reach of the internet, which is nothing short of a technological miracle, Issues Etc. is a truly worldwide outreach. We have people listening regularly in countries like South Africa, China, India, Egypt, Japan, Korea, Bulgaria, and other countries around the world. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this truly worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online year-end contribution at issuesetc.org. We're currently a little bit more than $16,000 short of making budget this year. Our listeners have been very good in helping us close the gap. We still have a little bit to go, and we still need your help. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of 2011. That idea that Luther brought forth has proven true again and again. He basically said, he's speaking to his German people of his time, he says, if they will not hear the gospel, then like a passing rain shower, it will move on to someone else. But the gospel will be preached. God will see to it that his mission for the world, to proclaim Christ and him crucified to all creation, is accomplished. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.